Number 191406, Craig Lambert v. James J. Fiorentini et al.
May it please the Court, my name is David Gabor. I'm with my colleague Catherine Brustowicz. We represent Craig Lambert, the appellant. May I respectfully have 2 minutes rebuttal, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you. This is a case involving a denial of the issuance of a LEOSA card to a retired police officer. The procedure is spelled out under federal, state, and local law. And basically the question comes down to what the definition of good standing is. And Haverhill has a definition of good standing that says...
Counsel, I do know you are making that argument as part of your certiorari state law claim, and the state courts have been pretty clear that certiorari is the appropriate way to raise that issue. And you started off in state court, as I recall.
Yes, my predecessor did.
But you also, in that complaint, put in a Section 1983 procedural and substantive due process claim. The only way the federal court has any jurisdiction over this matter is if, in fact, there is a procedural due process claim stated and a substantive due process claim stated. If there is no basis for federal jurisdiction, you probably belong back in state court on your certiorari argument. So what I'd like to ask you about is the doctrine that there is no procedural due process claim stated if there is an adequate state procedure for you to follow to assert your claim. And it seems to me the certiorari claim is an adequate procedure. And indeed, you seem to think so too, because that was your lead argument.
We would ask the court to rule on the arbitrary and capricious standard.
Why would we do that if there is no federal jurisdiction?
Well, we do have a valid argument, we believe, on the due process claim, because...
What's inadequate about the state procedure?
Mr. Lambert, on August 22nd, is disciplined. On August 24th, he requested a hearing.
I know all of that. What's inadequate about the certiorari procedure, which the SJC has blessed? You can get all the relief you want from the SJC, can't you?
Your Honor, I'm not suggesting that the SJC's procedure, I point to Frawley as precedent, is adequate. What I'm arguing is that under the due process...
I'm sorry, you're not...
You meant inadequate.
You meant inadequate.
No, I think the SJC in Frawley's decision does describe that process and the standards in arbitrary capricious.
And are you saying... You're not saying it's inadequate?
No, I am saying that the arbitrary and capricious standard, which can be ruled on in state court, would be adequate, but I'm saying there is also a legitimate due process claim because of...
No, there isn't. If the state, there's no legitimate procedural due process claim if the state procedure is adequate.
Can I just clarify, when the district court ruled on not just the procedure due process, it ruled on the arbitrary and capricious issue too?
Yes, it did.
So I think the one possibility, if I'm understanding the questions from Judge Lynch, would be if we concluded that your procedural due process and substantive due process claims fails, all you have left is state law claims. Is that right?
incorrect. Yes, Your Honor.
So one doctrine that we've had sometimes is we'll say there's no, when there's no merit to the federal claims and we only have the state law claims as a matter of supplemental jurisdiction, we can dismiss without prejudice the state law claims. That would have the effect of vacating the district court judgment, which would leave you in a position to take your case on the certiorari claims straight up to state court, not subject to removal because there's no federal claim that would be attached to it. So you'd be perfectly free from any adverse judgment to you to now take your case in state court, save for a possible statute of limitations issue, which I'm not sure whether there is one or isn't.
Yeah, I suspect there is not one. And as I read your state law claims, the state courts have a whole lot more experience with those claims than the federal district court, especially in this certiorari.
So another way to think about it, there's three options of what we could do. We could affirm the district court all the way across the board. I mean, we could affirm the certiorari decision. That would obviously not be helpful to you. We could reverse the district court. That would be helpful to you. Or we could dismiss without prejudice the district court's ruling on the certiorari decision. The option of dismissing out prejudice arises if we conclude there's no merit to your federal due process claims, and that as a matter of supplemental jurisdiction in our discretion, we should simply dismiss the state law claims.
And I think that would also cause prejudice to both sides, both to my sister and her clients and our client, given the fact that we've all spent substantial time briefing and presenting the issue.
Yes, perhaps the case should not have been removed. But you do have a decision against you now, and sending it back to state court gives you a clean slate with no possibility of anything we say having any influence on what the state court would do.
And I do believe, and I appreciate your arguments, but I do believe that the facts are clear and the court has ample experience with the standard of arbitrary and capricious in the case such as this, where it's clear that there is no legitimate basis for the decision by the chief to deny the LEOSA card, which is a federal statute,
so
by the way.
On that point, I take, I mean, to some extent, it's an exercise of our discretion as to how to handle the state law claim, but if I understand the district court's reasoning, it all turns on whether this 5-day suspension could still be served. Is that right?
I don't agree with that. And the reason
does
why
it turn at least in part on that?
No, it doesn't, and I can explain my reasoning.
But you see, those are issues of state law.
Yeah, no, I would like, since you did brief them and are now here, I would like you to.
Thank you. The LEOSA card is a federal federal statute that then turns to the state for interpretation, which turns to the municipality for that one definition. In this case, on August 22, 2012, Mr. Lambert was disciplined, and it spelled out the suspension for the dates August 22nd, 23rd, 26th, 27th, and 28th. Those are the days of the suspension. In the appendix at page 23, it talks about the fact that, may I continue, please?
Yeah, although,
yes.
Yes, but I have just one question. You said something that made me think maybe we're thinking about the jurisdictional issue wrong. Is this a federal, the LEOSA claim is a federal claim?
It's a federal statute. It's a federal statute.
No, I know that. I mean, how do we?
It wasn't pleaded that way.
It's a 18 U.S.C. 926C
right.
Governs the LEOSA card.
But you're claiming relief under state law, not under the federal statute, right?
Well, we're claiming relief under the statute as well, because the statute defines the rights of a retired police officer. So there really is jurisdiction for that reason. But if I can just go back to the issue of suspension so we're clear. And it's in the A23. It talks about the fact that he's suspended for 5 days. It spells out towards the top of that page what he's not allowed to do. He's not allowed to carry a badge, do the different things that a police officer does. It does not say he's suspended without pay. The next day, on the next page, A24, talks about the fact that, you know, if he does something in the future, then he, and this is progressive discipline, then in the future he could be he may be suspended without pay or terminated. But what's clear on the record is the investigation was over on or before August 22, 2012.
But, of course, your opponent takes the opposite position, and there are some ambiguities in state law as to, on these facts, when something is effective and how long it lasts. But we have read the briefs. We do know what the facts are. Thank you.
No, I appreciate that. May I just make one other point?
Make it quick, please.
Sure, thank you. In 2017, in the denial decision from October, the facts spelled out by the chief both are at odds with Haverhill's own definition of good standing and with what happened in 2012, leading up to the date of the term, of the suspension. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the Court, Janelle Austin, on behalf of the Mayor of the City of Haverhill and Chief of Police for the City of Haverhill, appellees in this matter. Just to touch on the Court's initial inquiry with respect to the constitutional claim, certainly this is fully vetted in our brief, but it's our position that there's no substantive or procedural due process claim at all in the lower court. The District Court did rule correctly with respect to those claims. Specifically, as the court correctly points out, as well as the District Court, there is a certiorari provision, a certiorari review available to the plaintiff in this case pursuant to Mass General Laws 249, Section 4. That was recently confirmed by the Supreme Judicial Court in Frawley versus Commissioner in Cambridge. It's directly on point, as we point out in our brief. With respect to the court's inquiry, we would request that the court affirm the district court in its entirety. Certainly, it's our position that the court properly exercised its supplemental jurisdiction with respect.
I'm just curious, why was this case brought to federal court?
It was removed in light of the federal Section 1983 claim, Your Honor.
The basis for the removal. I'm asking why the city preferred to be in federal court over state court on this certiorari action.
Specifically in light of count two, Your Honor, which raises federal constitutional claims.
Move on.
We would argue, obviously, there is a post-deprivation remedy that the plaintiff has availed himself to in this case. Certainly, we would insist.
Is there any authority that explains whether the good standing inquiry that is then adjudicated pursuant to state law standards, that it's in service of the requirements of the federal statute, whether we should think of that as a state law claim or a federal one for jurisdictional purposes? Do you know?
I would say pursuant to Frawley, Your Honor, it would be under 249 Section 4. So there is a LEOSA regulation, which is 18 U.S.C. 926C.
Right, I'm just thinking like
but that's not
in
the
IDEA type claims and the like, sometimes there is a state law component to it, but I just don't know what that means. Is the whole thing not also subject to federal jurisdiction?
I would assert, Your Honor, that what's being challenged in count one of this complaint is specifically in relation to the chief's determination of whether the plaintiff retired in quote-unquote good standing. The definition of good standing, while there is the federal regulation in 926C, as well as the state regulation as well under 501 CMR 13.
Count one says it's certiorari. A complaint in the nature of certiorari.
That's correct.
It does not assert that it's itself a federal law claim.
That's correct. The federal claims are invoked specifically in a very generic fashion in count two. We would assert that the district court correctly determined
that
there's
no discretion not to have that good standing reg. And since they have a good standing obligation as a matter of federal law, right?
The federal regulations outline the parameters in which a qualified retired law enforcement officer can carry a firearm across state lines. In this case, it's undisputed. It's in the complaint that the plaintiff has a valid license to carry under 140 Section 131. So that's not an issue in this case. The only issue is whether in interpreting federal law allows retired law enforcement officers to have that license, that retired law enforcement card, to carry across state lines. State regulations then sets forth eligibility requirements for that, and then local police departments can then in turn adopt regulations as the term good standing is not specifically defined under the federal law or under the state regulations. So as a result of that, the police chief, exercising his discretion, which the SJC said is proper in Frawley, determined that the plaintiff in this case, in light of the discipline that was imposed in 2012 but remarkably never served, retired in good standing, and the chief, in exercising his discretion, determined that it was not, and therefore denied the plaintiff the LEOSA card in this instance.
But federal law leaves to state law creation of law, regulations, whatever, giving content to the good standing requirement.
That's correct. And that was left to the Executive Office of Public Safety in those state regulations. And then the Haverhill Police Department then in turn adopted further regulations to provide clarification on those state regs. And that was the very nature. In fact, Frawley, the regulations that Haverhill has are almost identical to what the SJC interpreted in Frawley. We have raised all of these arguments in our brief. I'm certainly happy to address any other specific questions.
Just
the court
on the five-day point, just
sure.
How, to me, the trickiest issue is whether that 5 days could still be served or not.
It absolutely could. I mean, as the district court correctly pointed out, the five-day suspension was never served. We've submitted with our, as the record of proceeding, so to speak, on the certiorari claim on count one, a copy of the Superior Court docket.
He was paid as if it had been.
There are pay stubs in the record indicating he was, but if you look at the 2013 decision on the Superior Court case involving the 5 days, Your Honor, it was a declaratory judgment case. It specifically overturns that, saying that the plaintiff in this case, Mr. Lambert, in fact, ordering the city to give him that money back, saying that it wasn't served. It was never served. So he went out on injured on duty leave under Chapter 111F on August 21st, 2012. He then was notified of the 5 days on August 22nd, 2012. He never returned to work. It's not in dispute that he never served the suspension, and in fact then retired prior to ever returning to work or serving that suspension. So I would just direct the court's attention, as we did in our brief, to a copy of that Superior Court decision, in effect ordering the city to return those 5 days' pay to Mr. Lambert. Thereby, in effect, he never served that suspension, and the issue essentially went unresolved until the date he retired. Therefore, we would submit that the chief's decision was proper with respect to the LEOSA card.
Do you understand them to have argued that it was served?
There are passing references, as the court is aware, in the brief and also the reply. I think the record of proceeding, which was submitted, the certified record of proceeding, as to the chief's basis, indicates clearly that it was never served. I don't think there's any support for that position in the record, Your Honor. In fact, I would specifically say that the Superior Court's decision specifically indicates that it was never served because it ordered the city to then...
But you read their brief to only glancingly challenge that aspect of this.
I do. I think that there's a reference that it was in fact served. I don't simply understand how that's possible, as Mr. It's not in dispute that the plaintiff went out on leave on August 21st, 2012, and then retired in March 2014, never coming back to work. And that, in light of the fact that the Superior Court issued its decision in 2013, I think is dispositive on that issue, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you. We maintain that the suspension was served, and it was spelled out in the notice of discipline on August 22, 2012, what dates were the suspension. Notably, that document was silent on whether it was suspension with pay or without pay. On the next page, it talks about what happens in the future, and progressive discipline may include a suspension with pay. What happened in the Superior Court proceeding of the declaratory judgment was solely about a payment of 5 days that he had been docked and then was ordered to be paid back. That court never touched on the question of whether or not the suspension was appropriate, only the withholding of his pay. That was the only thing that was at issue in that Superior Court case. My final point, Your Honor.
Do you argue that the 5 days had been served?
Yes. That's the only thing that you can determine from the record because it spells out the dates he was suspended. And there is no mention that it was a suspension with pay. That was silent in the record. And this is the record put forth by Haverhill in this case. Now, my last point is on the issue of whether this court has jurisdiction. A LEOSA card gives you the right to carry in 50 states. It's a federal statute. It's a combination of a federal, a state, a local statute, and governing the process. But this is something that affects the ability of a retired police officer to carry a concealed weapon in all 50 states. I think that does create ample evidence of a federal question. Thank you very much, Your Honors.
Thank you both.